Good morning, everyone. Shalom. Our readings today, there are two readings. The first from the Old Testament, Genesis 3, verses 1 to 7. The man and woman sin. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. The second reading is from Mark 14, verses 32 to 41. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he was deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. And they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." God bless to us his word read.
Gardens are beautiful places, especially if you take the time to absorb what you're seeing. Sometimes we go into a garden and we simply walk through it, but we don't take the time to look at all the small, beautiful things that are in our garden, to look at the tender leaves, to look at the smallest of flowers, to see everything so beautifully and wonderfully created. Gardens are beautiful things. But here, though, is the story of two events in two different gardens that are described for us in Scripture. And I want us to try and grasp the difference between these two stories and indeed how they impact upon us even today. In the first story, we see the tragedy of human beings breaking faith with God, unable to resist temptation. In the second story, we see the agonizing of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden that's still there to this day and that you can walk in to this day. And where he warns his disciples about temptation. When you look at the first garden, and you see our first parents in that garden, they did what human beings have been doing ever since. They grasped for what was not theirs. They wanted something greater than simply the wonderful things that they had. They wanted to grasp something of the power that could be available to them. A power only known and available to God. And it's been the story of the world ever since. Always wanting what is forbidden. Always excluding God. Living in perpetual shame and vulnerability. That's where we are as a human race. And don't kid yourself for a moment, because if you and I had been in that garden and you and I had been in that same place, we would have made that same decision. Always wanting what is forbidden. Always excluding God. And living with the result of that shame and vulnerability. But then we look at Jesus in that other garden in Gethsemane. And what is it that Jesus is doing in that garden that is different from our first parents? He is struggling. He is struggling because he is being faced with the full force of temptation. He is struggling in that garden because God has placed upon him a task to do, which he could choose not to do. And he struggles because he knows the enormity of the price that he will pay if he goes ahead and takes this cup that he speaks of. He is struggling because he has been called to do what is right, and in the process to undo everything that is wrong in us. What was our first parent's temptation? It was to break faith with God. And his temptation is exactly the same. To break faith with God, to break faith with that agreement that was made in heaven, that he would come and that he would pay the price for us, and that he would undo everything that was wrong in humanity. But in so doing, he would go to his cross, and in that cross, he would become sin for us and undergo the enormity of the price, of the cost of the forgiveness of sins. In Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ, he kind of goes a step further because he wants to try and understand the temptation that Jesus is facing. But there is within the garden this other person who is there. It's not just him agonizing in front of the Father, but Satan is also there. And Satan is there to try to dissuade him from doing what he goes to do. And Satan says to him, no man can carry this burden. Are they worth it? No man can carry this burden. And yet Jesus knew he could, but he also knew the enormity of the burden that he was being asked to carry. Then we see something else. We see that in that garden, Jesus was willing to accept the blame for everything that we had done wrong. And how different that was from Adam and Eve in the garden, from you and I in the garden of our lives, where we make all the excuses under the sun for what's wrong. It's always someone else's fault. It's seldom ours. We only arrive, don't we, at any kind of intelligent sense of life when we stand before God and where we say, I'll take the blame because I know I'm wrong. But we're always trying to blame someone else. We've got a generation of children growing up, and they're being enticed to believe that everything is their parents' fault or their teacher's fault or society's fault, but seldom their own. And we go out of our way not to face up to the reality of who we are, even before God. And you see, our salvation can only come when we stand before God in honesty and in truth. There's always an excuse. But here in the garden, here in this other garden, the enormity of it all faces Jesus Christ. And he could say, it's not my fault. I didn't mess up things. I'm not to blame. Do I really have to face this? And in a sense, he was saying that. And yet there was something else. Accept the blame. Pay the price. Remove the guilt. Let me go back to Adam. And we see that his life ends with accusation. And Satan accuses. But the glory of what we've just done tells us that Christ accepts. What is the story of our world? What is the theme that dominates it? The story of our world and the theme that sits at the very heart of it and the theme that dominates it is the love and grace of God. And nowhere do we see it more clearly than in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, people close their ears and their eyes to it. But the story that we've told today and has been retold down the generations and will be retold long after we are bones is that at the very heart of our world lies a different story from the story that so tragically and often is told. At the heart of our world lies the story of what happened in that garden. That at the very heart of all things lies the grace and the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. go with the peace of Christ in our hearts, in our minds, in our decisions. May your mercy, may your grace, may your love rest and be in and remain in each of our lives, not only today, but forevermore. Amen.